You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers outlast the Wisconsin Badgers 74-70 inside of Simon Scott Assembly Hall in a very odd game, you know, just in terms of game flow, with Indiana jumping out to a huge lead and then giving it up, you know, a lot of it up before the end of the first half, which I guess isn't so odd because we've seen that a lot. But what we haven't seen is a game in the second half be delayed for 15 minutes because of a fire alarm being pulled and everybody being evacuated, having to come back in. But they did, and a lot of fans came back, and I thought provided a nice atmosphere that really helped push these Indiana Hoosiers over the edge to snap a four-game losing streak, to snap a stretch of losing four out of five at home. The win moves Indiana to 15-13, 7-10 in conference play. It certainly doesn't erase all of the poor performances that have come before. You know, and Indiana obviously still in a very perilous position for any type of postseason play. But man, for one night, it was just so great to see these guys play hard and play together. And, you know, really, I thought stay with the scheme, stay with each other to win a game. And so many times we've seen this team play really well, and then things don't go, you know, don't go well for a stretch, and they can't get themselves back into it. And they were able to make the plays down the stretch. Just really proud of them. Nice win for the Hoosiers tonight, 74-70. I'm your host, Jared Morris, here with Andy Bottoms, the coach, Brian Tonsoni, and Ryan Phillips. We are going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU Postgame Show. And let's start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And for the banner moment, we're going to talk about some plays that are not going to end up in the box score, but were absolutely the reason why Indiana won this game. And yes, one of them is going to be from Khalil Ware, who was just absolutely outstanding and did everything, you know, in the box score with points and rebounds and blocks. But go back to that play when it's 70-70, a minute and a half to go. Wisconsin comes out of a timeout. Chucky Hepburn, Tyler Wall playing their little two-man game on the left wing. Anthony Walker, you know, really hurts the defense with, you know, a bad leaping closeout on a guy who isn't really a shooter. Wall goes inside smartly. He gets the ball from Hepburn. Looks like he's going to have a pretty easy shot. But who's there? Khalil Ware. And he didn't get the block because he didn't touch the shot, but he absolutely altered it and made Tyler Wall, you know, really try and get a high arcing shot over him. He missed it. But then on the other side of the basket was Anthony Leal with one of the best blockouts we've seen all season long to ensure that Indiana got that rebound, got that stop. They would go down on the other end. Malik Renew scored. Those proved to be the game-winning points. And on the very next possession down, Trey Galloway with a huge box out in the corner to prevent Tyler Wall from getting a rebound, giving Wisconsin another possession. Blockouts. Challenges at the rim, just competitive, tough plays by Indiana that we haven't seen very much this season. This is why Indiana fans have been frustrated, because you make these plays, it's going to lead to winning, and too often we haven't seen it. Tonight we did, and that's why Indiana earned this victory. Excellent plays down the stretch by all those guys, and there are others that we could call out too, but those in particular at a key moment in the game helped Indiana get a stop, secure a possession, and go down and win. Awesome plays by those guys at a time when Indiana had to have them. Okay, presenting sponsor time. Home Field Apparel, where on for the team. Our banner moment tonight, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their seventh season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their third as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And gentlemen, I do want to reveal something, which is that I am wearing for the first time all season during a game my Indiana 1993 Big Ten Champions t-shirt. Not going to say it influenced the victory tonight. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to let other people say that. But maybe a little bit of home field magic tonight for the Hoosiers. Who knows? Actually, I think it was maybe some magic by my daughter. You might see these little signs I have taped all over my shirt. She was writing out score predictions and giving them to me to help me feel confident about the game. So big kudos to her. But Home Field Apparel, just unbelievable stuff. One of the biggest collections of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere. And it's not just IU, it's colleges and universities all over the country. And whether you like soft, long sleeve tees like this one, short sleeve tees, crew necks, quarter zips, snapback hats, bomber jackets, they've got it all. incredibly soft and durable materials, just great logos that all have a story behind them, and you're supporting Home Field Apparel, which started out as an Indiana brand, which came up through the Kelly School of Business, and they're just an awesome company to support and be a part of. So go to homefieldapparel.com, use our promo code HOME23, you will get 15% off your entire first order. That's homefieldapparel.com. And hey, maybe you can bring a little bit of home field magic to the next Indiana game as well. All right, homefieldapparel.com, HOME23 is the promo code. All right, time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team, everybody here, for a fun night to talk about a victory for once. It feels good. Feels like we haven't done this in a while. Andy, we will start with you. Your bottoms line on this Indiana victory.
Just so many guys stepping up and making winning plays to help this team. And that, you know, we can lament how we got here over the course of the season, but really kudos to these guys and to the coaching staff for getting them ready to play and really came out sharp early on and set the tone and had that lull toward the end of the first half, which we'll talk more about later, I'm sure. But really thought they did as good a job as any time this season of really fighting back from adversity in the second half. I think there was even a play when Gabe Cupps just, he got bullied going to the basket on one end and he took it right back at Chucky Hepburn on the other end and, had a nice ball fake, makes a shot. I just thought that was emblematic of the response that the team had during key moments in this game. And there were plenty of times that we can talk about other points in the season when those responses were not there. I think that says something about this team, says something. Again, we've been critical of the coaching staff for sure, but to be able to get these guys in this position after what they've done and really help them get through to the end of the game, I thought was really impressive and good for them to be rewarded for it with a victory. The numbers offensively are really impressive. Shot 62% from the field. And there were times in the second half, like the only thing that was stopping IU from scoring was turnovers. And otherwise, they were really getting the ball where they wanted. And was pretty much a carryover from the first half. But just really happy with these guys. Khalil Ware, tremendous performance. Trey Galloway, 12 assists, 2 turnovers in 36 minutes on kind of a bum foot and made those big plays. And as I texted you guys, somebody put that Leo box out in a museum somewhere so that people from all around can come and admire it in all its glory as he did that. So that was a great way to finish it with some fundamental plays and really happy for the guys to be able to get the win.
Ryan, over to you. Please behave. We won.
Why do you assume it's going to be negative always? No, look, I love beating Wisconsin. You guys,
because you're
that.
Mad that your attempt to burn down Assembly Hall didn't work. That's why.
Look, guys, there is no evidence.
When you're eventually tied to this.
Yeah. What do you think of your personal brand? That's what everybody in the Discord was saying.
Guys, look, I'm in San Diego right now. I could have had nothing to do with it. Sure. I'm not going to move my computer to prove that and show you the rest of my apartment, but the setup's the same, right? Look, I think that, you know, tonight, I think the takeaways are when this team plays with consistent effort, it can compete. And there was consistent effort throughout. I think there's they had their, I think, patented end of the first half lull that we've seen when they start well. But then they came right back and picked it up. And I know Wisconsin clawed its way back into it, but I think that all of us expected that to happen because Wisconsin's a good team. And they were going to come back and make this a close game. But what Indiana did was responded and counterpunched. You know, there were plenty of times they could have given up when Wisconsin took the lead. And, you know, Wisconsin hit a 3 to take the lead and the momentum's going the way. No, they punched back and stuff we haven't seen this year, you know, and I think that you're sitting here and you're saying, well, you hope this team's growing and you hope that people on this team are getting the confidence to be able to do that with other teams. And that was nice to see. I think that also we, you know, saw why Khalil Ware is going to be in the NBA draft in a few months. I mean, I've been hearing some people, you know, because he'd kind of cooled off at times and kind of just like, you know, is he really going to go? Yes, Khalil Ware is going to be in the NBA next year. And that's great for Indiana. He'll be a great representative for IU in the NBA. But also one thing I wanted to mention was if you look at the box score, you got something from the bench tonight and it wasn't necessarily points. It was, they played really well and really hard. Gabe Cupps was plus 10. Anthony Leal was plus 13. The team was good when the bench was in there. Anthony Walker was zeroed out. So, you know, he wasn't hurting you. Even Peyton Sparks, I know he was in there for, 2 minutes, but he had a great block out and got fouled. Like, I just felt like across the roster, the energy was really good tonight from the start, and then, you know, kind of cooled off and then got better and got, you know, and wound up being really well, really good. And that's with an Assembly Hall that people were saying was about 70% full. So they, you know, I thought that the fans, you know, cheered well at the end and all that stuff, especially after, I think they all got riled up by the fire alarm fiasco. But at the same time, this team did this itself. It didn't need to be carried. They actually did it themselves. And I think that was the encouraging thing to see from these guys.
Coach, it's Tonsoni time. What's on your mind after this one?
Yeah, I thought it, from an X and O standpoint, it was one of the better games. I thought they put Ware in a lot of face-ups. Yeah, they threw it to him in the post a couple times, and the rim-running game is always his strength. But his face-up game where he just went through people, the Euro-step play where he attacked the chest of someone, I thought you saw his skills maximized tonight. And wherever that came from, we need more of that. I thought that was outstanding. And then you need a playmaker. And whether that's going to be X, Galloway, Cups, whatever. But in the first half, Galloway had 8 assists. I'm not sure how many he ended up, but he was looking 12. To pass. He had ended up with 12 assists. Indiana has a shot to win games when you have that ball moving and when your guard is not just looking to make some crazy play at the rim, but is looking to get the ball. It was nice. The alley-oop game was there, but one of the best plays was for a 3 in the first half when Galloway drove baseline and he found Leo in the corner for a 3. That's good offense. Another time they missed a 3, but the ball went baseline, popped around a couple, one more passes. And I thought those two things offensively put Indiana in a position to succeed. You know, still the macro things about threes and all of that stuff still exist. But tonight, I thought there were a couple adjustments that really put Indiana in position to score the ball offensively. And then defensively, I thought their effort was enough to really slow down Wisconsin from what they wanted to do. Even though Wisconsin came back in the game, took the lead late, I thought the effort was outstanding enough to get a win. And that's what you got to do. You know, Wisconsin's a top 25 team. That's not an easy game. They're going to make runs. But I thought that was a very enjoyable game from an offensive strategy standpoint, as opposed to what we've seen for 27 games.
Yeah. You know, and Andy, what's interesting about this game is, you know, Indiana goes up to Wisconsin a few weeks ago. They lose by 12 in a game that really probably wasn't that close, you know, but they score 79 points. That game was without Khalil Ware, and the big issues there were defensive. And the biggest issue was leaving Max Klesmet and him just absolutely going off. And as you saw tonight, when you leave him, he is going to make open catch and shoot jumpers. When you make him put it on the deck, he's not very effective. And Indiana did a much better job today defensively. You know, I mean, part of it was scheme and just being disciplined with what they were doing. And part of it was just being committed to, look, like sometimes we're going to overhelp and get a little bit out of position and we just have to hustle our way back. And that's part of what we haven't really seen is that extra gear that you really have to have with this defense to help cover up for some of the momentary gaps that it's going to give up. And I thought they really did a good job with that. They made Klesmet put it on the deck. You know, Storr had a nice game and I thought made some tough shots. But defensively, it was just a much more cohesive and together effort. And obviously, look, you know, you see what a difference Khalil Ware makes, you know, where Wisconsin has 21 fewer points. And a big part of that is, you know, they weren't able to do a lot around the rim when he was in there because he was either blocking or altering shots. You know, and so defensively, you see all the pieces together. This can be an adequate. This wasn't like an elite defensive performance, but it was adequate. You can win with it. And so that was nice to see because, boy, we have not seen that over the last, you know, 5-6 games.
Yeah, Ware really set the tone early. Had a couple blocks. And he's really gotten, I don't know if this is by design, but he's done such a better job. Channel my inner Bill Russell here, but he's done a better job of blocking shots and actually keeping them in bounds. So they can, you know, get going the other way as opposed to swatting it into the eighth row. But I thought he really intimidated them and changed some shots early, especially Storr. And really, when Wisconsin came back, it started almost immediately after he went out of the game. Woodson trying to give him a rest. He hadn't rested him at all. I think tried to give him a few minutes before the under 4 timeout in the first half. And so then Wisconsin gets a little comfortable in that stretch, and they scored 16 points on the last 8 possessions of the first half when they had 17 points on the first 23 of the half. So even just him being out of there for a couple minutes gave them that comfort level of doing that. And there were a lot of plays, even in that first half, where guys got a little bit crossed up on, you know, rotations. It was one that I think Walker went to the wrong place, but guys were like just sprinting across the court to try to make something happen and get where they needed to be to at least like cause a little bit of chaos. Even if they didn't make the right read or the right rotation, the effort was there that was able to cover up for some of those things. And I thought that was important. And in the second half, Wisconsin really adjusted and just started driving at guys. They tried to spread everybody out. IU was guarding the 3-point line pretty well. There was tons of space at times where the middle of the floor opened up, and they really just tried to find somebody they thought they could bully in there. And that worked at times with Storr, worked at times with Hepburn, Wall, you know, channeling his inner Ethan Happ in the lane and doing some of those kinds of things. But, you know, those were the baskets that IU was willing to concede in this game. And ultimately it worked out for him in the end. But I just thought the effort level and the ability to sustain that effort level for a longer period of time was such a difference in this game. And again, to be able to rebound within the game from not playing well defensively in stretches to right the ship and get it together in some spots and not let things really snowball. Short of that sequence at the end of the first half, there was really only, you know, one other stretch in the second half where Wisconsin really got rolling, but they were able to right the ship and kind of get things back on track from a defensive standpoint. So to me, there was certainly some schematic things in terms of what they wanted to give it up, but the effort was really the part that stood out to me.
Yeah. Coach, did you see anything else from a defensive standpoint, or was this just as simple as, you know, personnel, hey, get your big shot blocker out there and it's going to be a lot harder on Wisconsin?
Well, the key to defense is protecting the bounce and guarding the bounce. And I thought Indiana did that really well early. And then Wisconsin, you know, these guys in this league make adjustments. I thought they attacked Mbako, like you said, off the bounce and was able to get some of that. But they switched early, a lot early. And I thought that just kept Wisconsin on the perimeter. And they weren't able to get clean threes, and they weren't able to score in the paint. And I think the points in the paint got, you know, with that second or first half run and the second half play, I think Wisconsin ended up having more points than I thought in the paint. But I thought they really guarded the bounce. And Wisconsin's not super great off of the bounce, so that helps Indiana in that they're not lightning quick like some of the guards that Indiana has played. But I thought they did a really good job of staying with people, although sometimes the switches caught them in mismatches. And then, you know, Malik, he struggles defensively. He was in drop coverage on Wall, and one time just let the ball get to the rim, you know, easily. He really struggles on the defensive side and fouling lately. But other than that, I thought everyone was outstanding. And when you have Ware in there, my gosh, it just – even when you were wide open, Wisconsin was wide open, they were thinking he was coming. And you can just tell the advantages of having him protect that rim. But I thought it was a really good effort all the way around defensively, especially then coming after the fire drill. I thought they started to get back defensively and at least battled. When they got bullied down in the lane, it wasn't easy. It wasn't just at the rim, easy layup. They had to work at it a little bit.
And you know, to be clear, I just want to say, I mean, Wisconsin scored 1.13 points per possession. Like, I'm a little overly excited for a 4-point home win against an okay team, and I get that. So this was not an elite defensive performance. No. It was just a step in the right direction, a better defensive performance.
Yeah, I think that all the technical stuff aside about, you know, they switched better and they did this and they, you know, they just looked more locked in and aggressive defensively than they have in weeks. And they didn't get discouraged when things didn't go right. They locked right back in, and, you know, they still were going under, you know, screens to 3-point shooters and all of that stuff that has been an issue all year. They blocked out better for most of the game. There were a couple possessions they got loose with, and Wisconsin a number of times got multiple rebounds offensively, but for the most part, they blocked out better. And there was just effort. It looked like from the beginning of the game, they were energized and they were showing effort. And if they missed, you know, if they got hung up on a screen or something, they didn't just kind of give up. They closed out as hard as they could. They challenged, and they just, it was like from the beginning, they told Wisconsin, we are not going to let this be easy, as has happened in other games. And yeah, you're right. Wisconsin scored a lot of points. Wisconsin's a good team and they scored a lot of points, but per possession. But at the same time, Indiana never let it get easy for them. There were two or three stretches of runs that Wisconsin went on that you knew they were going to go on that were balanced by them struggling a lot in the first half. But other than those little runs, Indiana worked hard all night defensively, and we haven't seen a game where they've done that in quite some time. And I think that's why we're excited about it, because the contrast to what we have seen – was different. I mean, this is what you should expect every game, but the contrast from what we've seen is stark tonight. And I just thought that was the key takeaway for me, was they just looked energized and focused defensively and were showing the effort.
And where that shows, Ryan, is in pursuit of rebounds. And Wisconsin still got 10 offensive rebounds, so it wasn't great. But you could tell they were making the effort. That was Leo's blockout. Galloway's play right there at the end,
where
he's hustling to the sideline. People were actually going and trying, and when the offensive rebounds went to Wisconsin, it was a bounce or maybe one or two non-effort plays. But
or you're out of position, tonight, and then you're out of position for the next one.
And that happens. That happens in a game.
You get lost.
But I thought they were pursuing rebounds, and that goes to your point of effort, the switching, the drives being more difficult even when they scored, the contested shots, all of that. Sometimes you just run into a buzzsaw and people make shots even when you're playing well. But the rebound effort, I thought X had a really nice couple of rebounds when he was in there defensively. So guard rebounding is so important because you're switching with Renew on the perimeter. That is always a sign of how Indiana is locked in and trying to give defensive effort, I think, is the rebounding. And I think you were right.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the same thing. They end up with 5 second chance points, and they both came after block shots that IU had. One was the bucket that Klesmet hit right before halftime, and then he ended up getting a three off another one. So even the second chance points that they actually gave up off those rebounds were kind of unlucky more than they were lack of effort type plays.
Yeah. Last thing I want to talk about here before we break segment one, I mean, we got to linger on Khalil Ware's performance just a little bit more. 27 points, 11 boards, 5 blocks. He only turned the ball over one time. He was 11 of 12 from the field, 4 for 4 from the line, 1 of 1 from 3. I mean, Ryan, you know, I tweeted in the first half, like, Khalil Ware's making himself some more money tonight. I mean, he did a lot of the things. And look, bigs in the NBA are better than Steven Crowell, obviously. But you saw, you know, Khalil playing out on the floor a little bit more, you know, getting in the pick and roll, you know, finishing, you know, the lobs, hitting a mid-range shot, hitting a three, making his free throws, altering shots. I mean, this was the full Khalil Ware experience. And as we know, part of the formula for Indiana, for Indiana winning under Mike Woodson is your best players have to have great games.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's just part of it. And Khalil Ware did that. He led the way. And, you know, so I just, you know, praise to him, you know, really for the performance that he put out.
Yeah,
there tonight.
I think that the big thing for me, the big takeaway for me on Khalil Ware was he just stuck with it tonight. He didn't get discouraged at any point. And I think that's happened before. If somebody bodied him up or you know, was forceful or physical with him, he might get discouraged. And he didn't. And one of the best plays where he stuck with it was Galloway threw him a lob and someone was in his way and he wasn't able to get to the rim. So he caught it and threw it off the backboard. And because he did that, he also got a foul and made it a 3-point play. He got a chance at a 3-point play.
That was a huge play, by the way.
It was a huge
play.
The
offense had been really stagnant.
Yep. And it, you know, he could have gone up and gotten it, but the guy was in the way. He just stuck with it instead of just staying down and letting it go or going up, maybe collecting the ball and coming down with it. He stuck with the play and because of that was able to make it and get the foul. On the other end, you know, at one point there was nothing going on in the offense and he's at the top of the key and he just drove the ball. And we haven't seen that from
that's
Khalil
right.
This year.
I forgot about that play.
He drove the ball right into the guy's chest and made it. I didn't think it was going to go in, but I thought I was still cheering the drive and then it rolled around the rim and went in. Like he just was aggressive. And maybe it is, you know, I know this opponent cannot guard me. Maybe that's what he needed to get the confidence going. But honestly, most of the people in the league can't guard him. And I just wish he'd have more confidence like that more often. Maybe this is the start of something and he is being pushed to do more. But this was his game tonight. And I even tweeted out, I'm like, this is his highlight game. NBA draft, when he gets drafted, half the highlights are going to be from this game. I mean, unless they're just lob highlights from the season. But this was he featured every bit of his arsenal tonight. You'd love to see him take some more threes because his stroke is so good. But other than that, he featured, you know, he hit one, but he featured every part of his arsenal tonight, offensively and defensively. And this was his showcase game. And good for him to do it in a win, because sometimes guys love a showcase game and a loss and you kind of forget about it. This we won't forget about.
Interesting that both he and Malik made threes tonight, one for one, each of them, which is nice to see. Go, coach.
The team played free tonight, which we haven't seen most of the year. They were free to make plays for each other. They were free to shoot the ball. They caught the ball looking to shoot instead of feeding the post. Something happened, and whatever adjustments, we have to give kudos to that because we're always critical of everything. But this team played like a college basketball team, catch the ball, shoot the ball, drive the ball, all of that stuff. It wasn't just a focus on one spot on the floor or waiting 8 seconds to dribble the ball and then go into a middle ball screen. There were multiple actions, multiple plays in transition, multiple times players caught when they were open. And Mbako hits a big three that really wasn't a good shot, but he shot it. We love to see that. You see it in every college game where people take threes that are somewhat questionable because they're in the flow. Indiana was allowed to play offense tonight and flow. And that's, I mean, the 115 footer that Ware caught. He wasn't trying to pass it 5 feet to the nether post player. He caught it. It was a long two. We don't like those, but he caught it and it was confident. Leo's three in the corner. Normally you would dribble that back up and look into the post. Something was different tonight about how they felt when they were playing on the floor. Something had been either relieved, the pressure, conversation, something had to happen, I think, because this was a style and just the way they played was a whole lot different than what they had been playing the last 5 or 6 ball games offensively. And I think that helped Ware. I mean, Ware was just freed up to do what he wanted to do. Take a three, take a two, throw it down as a dunk, a post up. I mean, he was outstanding.
Yeah, I think with Ware, what stood out to me was one, almost every shot he got was him facing the basket and moving toward the basket. It was a lot of pick and roll stuff where he's cutting there. It was not a lot of straight post-ups. He did put his shoulder into Crowell's chest at one point to score inside. But generally speaking, he was on the move scoring where he's can be most effective. And the other thing I'll say, and this is not, you know, this is what it is. This team wants to play two bigs. He benefited a lot from having the space that he had inside when Malik Renu was not in the game in the first half.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
You just, and you saw that in the second half, he only took 2-3 shots in the second half. I think he didn't miss one, but they really struggled to find ways to get both of them going in the second half. You know, Ware had the 20 in the first half, 7 in the second. Renu played great in the second half offensively. That's not a knock on him. You know, made a turnover where he took an extra dribble and those kinds of things. But generally speaking, like, he played great. It's just hard to get Ware the ball in situations where he's most successful when Renu is in the game. And it's just a, you know, a roster construction thing. It's not a knock on one or the other, but the freedom that Ware was able to play with was a lot because of who was on the floor with him in those scenarios. And I give Galloway a lot of credit for making the right reads on the pick and rolls and really setting him up well. I don't know how many of his assists were to Ware, but it was a lot of them.
A lot.
Spacing. It also allowed Galloway to get 8 assists. It also allowed X to be his best tonight. When he was middle pick and roll with an empty, they brought Walker out. I call it emptied out the paint with the middle ball screen and either two people opposite, or they ran it strong side sometimes where they ran the ball screen towards the two, and then they had openings all night long. X got to the rim once. X had a pull-up jumper. He had a nice assist. Second half, X struggled. Dribbled into traffic. The lane was congested. It congests not only for Ware in the second half, but it congested it for the point guards in the second half. And even Galloway didn't have as much room to operate. I think that is, again, we won the game, and I'm not going anywhere with this, but Andy, you are spot on. It is spacing, spacing, spacing that allowed that. And the face-up game, again, a couple of adjustments. Maybe that was just because of foul trouble. But there were a lot of things that were different tonight for Indiana.
Before we break, just a reminder, we are on Substack. That is where we do our free weekly email newsletter. We also have a paid subscription with bonus content like Coach Dunsany's Coach's Corners, Tony Adragna's IU Film Room. You can learn all about that at assemblycall.com. It's all right there, so we'd love to have you hop on for the free subscription. And if you like what you're seeing, maybe you decide to upgrade and join the community, which gives you access to our chats and our Discords and a whole bunch of fun stuff. We've got a lot of great people, a lot of great IU fans in there, and we'd love to have you join us. That's assemblycall.com. All right, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's win over Wisconsin, 74-70, I will point out today's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we will go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of The Assembly Call.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris. We have a full house tonight. The coach, Brian Tonsoni, Andy Bottoms, Ryan Phillips. I saw someone in the chat. It's like, oh, they win. They all show up. This was scheduled before the game happened when we all thought we were going to lose. But yes, it's nice to have everybody here. Time now for tonight's meaningful moment that you might have missed. Meaningful moments that you might have missed. This segment brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. By the way, first meaningful moment that you might have missed is our women's basketball team winning a road game, which you had to miss if you, since you had to make a choice between watching the men and women since they played at the same time. Thanks a lot, Big Ten scheduler, or whoever made that decision. But the women coming off of their emotional, thrilling win over Iowa with just a professional, mature road win against Northwestern. I think they won by 20. Just Northwestern's not good, but that's a road win, and just nice to see the women stay on track after that big Iowa win. Guys, for the meaningful moment, I want to go back to the first half. And, Coach, you talked about Xavier Johnson. Very nice to see him get back tonight after missing whatever it was, you know, 5 or 6 games. And it was clearly a mixed bag for him. I thought played much better in the first half than the second half. Too many turnovers in the second half, missed some free throws, Coach. I think you gave some reasons for why, you know, he struggled a little bit with the lack of spacing. Also just some rust and also just, you know, X being X on a few possessions. But I thought he really had some key plays in the first half that were helpful. You know, he comes right in, turns the ball over on his very first play. Then, you know, right down on the other end, hustles to get a rebound, gets out in transition, leads to a layup for Trey, which, by the way, Indiana was really pushing the ball in the first half, trying to find opportunities to get out, get in transition, not play against that set Wisconsin defense. X helped with that. But I thought the biggest play that he made, you know, and we need to talk about the decision-making that went into this a little bit. You know, Indiana's up 32-17, has all the momentum. Malik Renew's on the bench with 2 fouls. Khalil Ware is tired, clearly needs a rest. Woody chooses to go with Peyton Sparks instead of Malik Renew. As soon as this happened, I said, I don't have a good feeling about this. I get that Renew has 2 fouls. You're up by 15. You haven't won in 4 games. This is not the time to be conservative. Put Renew out there and try to keep this going. We've seen this happen too often where you go to the bench, you take both of the bigs off, and you lose your lead. And, of course, that is exactly what happened. They go on a little run. It was 33-23. They had gone on like a 6-1 run, and it really kind of felt like everybody was like, oh, man, this is happening again. And X drained that 3-pointer from the top of the key, which I just thought was a huge shot for a moment to kind of settle down what felt like a momentum avalanche that might go, you know, against Indiana. Now, Wisconsin still ended up cutting into the lead, cut it to 5 by the end of the half, but you take away that 3-pointer and it might have been even worse. And at that point now, you're going into halftime. A lot of the good feelings from the first half aren't there. The way it happened, both teams were kind of able to, you know, go in, you know, feeling decent. So I thought, you know, some key plays by X there in the first half that helped contributed to Indiana getting the lead, to preserving the lead. And, you know, a guy misses, you know, some games, you expect a little bit of rust, and we saw that from him. But, Coach, you know, nice to see him able to step up and make a few plays that contributed to the win.
Yeah, you know, his shot is a little janky with his hesitation and his hitch.
It is.
But when his feet are solidly underneath him, it goes in. The pull-up jumper, he had good elevation. He had good lift with his legs. It went in. The three-point, he was calm. His body is calm. When X gets in trouble, it's that Energizer Bunny moves where he goes 5,000 miles an hour. That's just part of his game that he has not cleared up over the years. That leads to turnovers, and that leads to missed shots and post feeds that go off the top of the backboard. But you got to live with that, because I think another thing that he did well tonight coming back was put defensive pressure on the guards. It was good to see his athleticism, and that one long rebound push-up ahead past to Galloway is that speed. We've been asking for transition basketball. Those are things. Now, he's got to make good decisions coming back, being rusty, and not trying to, you know, score 18 points every possession like he does sometimes. But it was nice to see him out there, because I think he can add something defensively. I think when he's on, he's a decent defensive rebounder. And again, when he was his best for Indiana was that first year when he was scoring and getting 7, 8, 9 assists, just like Galloway was tonight. If he can find some of that and come off the bench, if that's going to be his role, it does help Indiana in these last three games in the Big Ten tournament salvage something here late in the year.
Andy, I want to kick it to you to get your meaningful moments. The last one I wanted to point out, you know, everybody will probably talk about the fifth foul that Malik Renew fouled out on, which I suppose we should talk about at some point, which just seemed like horrible communication from the sideline. And I think not Malik's fault. Did you guys, it sounded like Woody was telling people to foul, and then Malik heard him and fouled.
He yelled for somebody to foul, and you could see Malik yell, "You said to foul," and Woodson yelled at him, "Not you." But I think that it was the kind of thing where when you're screaming foul, 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 your guys are going to jump up and foul. And so I think it was just, again, just bad communication. And yeah. Malik,
and you would hope he would know, like, you have four, not you. But
you're right. But also,
especially
because
you're not
game,
fouling to come back in the game. But yeah. I think we've seen that before in late half situations.
Stop
where
doing that.
They've tried to do that. I actually thought it did make some sense, because if you get down at some point, like, you got to get yourself at least to five, so you don't have four or five fouls to give to get in the bonus if it gets close. So I didn't mind the notion of it, but you got to know.
What should have happened is he should have pulled at a dead ball, should have pulled Galloway aside and said, "You have fouls to give, foul the ball, foul at some point when it's, you know, not a shot and it's out at half court." Because Andy's right, you're trying to get up to like five, so that if you get behind, you have to foul. You don't have to waste 30 seconds trying to foul multiple people multiple times. And you can pick who you're going to foul and all of that stuff. So, I it was just poor communication. And Woodson lit into Malik. And again, in the heat of the moment, Malik might forget I've got four fouls, because he hadn't fouled in a while. You know, I mean, like, he might have just gotten fired up, heard that from his coach, and reacted. And you're right, has to be smarter and all of that. But again, I think it was everybody's fault. I don't blame.
Here's how this is an example of not planning ahead. And again, I don't want to be negative tonight, because it was a big win. But that is your strategy. You got to practice it, and you got to have a call. If you yell foul, this is what happens. That this was not well planned out. We did this, and I hate to talk about what we did. We had a call, red. If you hear me call red, it doesn't matter who it is. If you're guarding the ball, you foul him. I was in control of who fouled, when they fouled, and if I knew a guy had four fouls, I'm not calling red. I'm waiting until that ball gets reversed. Now I'm going red. When you start just yell foul, 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 and it happened in a game earlier where the assistants were yelling and Mbako fouled before there was like 0.5 seconds off the clock, the one game that was a problem. This is an example of having a decent strategy. You only had two fouls to eat up some clock. That wasn't well thought out before the game. That has to be better. That's coaching right there. That is having a scenario for everything you're going to do and calls for everything you can do. Now, maybe that's different in college, an arena with 17,000 and maybe can't kids. And then on top of that, your basketball IQ has to understand as a player, I got four fouls, I'm valuable. I'm not the one who's going to do that. So if he's yelling foul, 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 and the reason we went to a color code is because foul is so hard to understand. Exactly.
Sounds like it ball was clear or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we practice it. We would run situations and practice day after day, red, 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 then go to the free throw line. Twos and threes late in the game, when to get twos and threes. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to execute it right. It can still get screwed up. But I don't believe they have really thought through that end of game situation. They use it,
didn't seem
but it
like
seems
it.
To me they haven't practiced it.
Yeah.
And it could have cost.
And Andy, the point I was going to make was actually on the previous foul by Malik Renew, where I think Storr was driving and he reached in on him. I think it's time for Malik Renew to stop reaching in. Just don't. Just stop reaching in. The risk of him getting, I mean, he gets two or three fouls a game just on reach-ins, it feels like. Maybe one or two. The risk is not worth the reward of the occasional strip or, you know, deflection or whatever. He needs to be on the court. And it feels like, yes, you know, he's going to get in trouble trying to guard on the perimeter. You're going to get, you know, two or three fouls banging down low. Those are going to happen. It's the silly reach-in fouls that if Malik got rid of those, his fouling would be, you know, more normalized. And it feels like he's been doing it a lot more lately. So I would like to see him just stop that altogether because there's no benefit really. And it's just hurting us and him.
Yeah, I think both his fouls in the first half were a little bit of wrong place, wrong time type scenario. Not the Nate Oates kind of wrong place, wrong time, to be clear. But but you know, the first one, somebody's driving. He actually had done a really good job on Hepburn keeping him out there. They dish it off to somebody. He just kind of can't help himself as the ball's coming toward him to reach in. And the second one was really a bad pass from Galloway that led him into a foul. You know, they turn the ball over and he kind of reaches, you know, just reaches trying to catch the ball, ends up fouling. But he's also at a point where he's kind of got a reputation and guys are looking, I think, at times to do that. And yeah, the one before, you just kind of got to make, you know, wall up. And he did a good job of that early in the second half as he was trying to do that. He did a good job a couple times, walled up, made the shot tough as he could, but didn't slap down, didn't foul. And, you know, just thought that was, you know, unfortunate for the couple of the ones he picked up. You know, meaningful moment for me is kind of a series of things from Galloway in the first half. Thought he got off to, you know, maybe short of some of the assists, like a slow start offensively, had missed a couple open threes. And it was, I think, a few possession sequence where you just saw him improve and settle down within the game and not let one, you know, a couple mistakes turn into more than that. So I talked about the one, he kind of passed Renew into a foul. And he missed an open three. But after that, he gets another chance at an open three, drives the closeout, dish to Ware for an and one. And the play after that is the one where he drove baseline and got it to Leal in the corner for a three. I just thought a good job of him recognizing, hey, I might not have the shot tonight. I'm gonna do something different, make better decisions or different decisions within the game to be able to do that. And it, you know, led to 6 points there in two possessions after he had turned the ball over on one play and missed a wide open shot on another. Just thought it was some good resilience from him and kind of what you saw from the team over the course of the game of being able to come back from mistakes in a way they've struggled to do in large part over the course of the season.
Yeah. All right. Next up, time to go inside the numbers, brought to you by Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. It's getting closer and closer to tax day. If you live in Bloomington or the surrounding areas and you want your taxes done right, contact our friend and Chat Mob Hall of Famer Megan Mahaffey and her team in Bloomington, Bedford, and Martinsville by calling 812-339-3334 or by visiting jacksonhewitt.com. That's jacksonhewitt.com. Well, you know, we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about shooting, about three-point shooting and about free throw shooting, and Indiana has typically ended up on the wrong side of those numbers in a lot of games. You know, you could say they ended up on the wrong side of the three-point shooting tonight. Wisconsin makes 8. Indiana only makes 6. But Indiana made their 6 on 14 attempts, which is 42.9%. Wisconsin launched 26 three-pointers, so they only shot 30.8%. So certainly beat Indiana in volume, but it took them a lot of attempts to get there. And then you look at the free throw line, Wisconsin only takes 3 free throws. You know, so good discipline by Indiana, not doing as much fouling as they had done. And Indiana goes 10 to 15 from the line, so making more free throws than your opponent attempts. They missed some down the stretch, but at least...
I got to say something to be fair. We complained about the Kohl Center whistles a lot. I thought Indiana got a favorable whistle for long stretches in this game. And I'm totally fine with it because they've earned it from the Kohl Center crap.
I thought the same thing. I thought we got away with a lot down low actually early in the game.
And I'll say this, they didn't call much during the game at all. And I was fine with that, letting them play. I mean, Wisconsin only had 14 fouls and Indiana ended up with 8. I'm cool with a kind of let them play attitude. I think it leads to a better product, But I think that Indiana did get away with some stuff. And again, completely fine with it. We've earned it over the years. We had eight, five of them. We had Indiana had eight. Five of them were Malik and two were Anthony Walker. No, coach, one other foul the whole game.
There was a while that Renew was the only guy who had committed a foul in the second half. So you guys made Coach sit back in his chair. He really,
he really made a face there that the podcast audience wasn't able to see. But would you like to verbalize your feelings about Ryan?
Just like he sat back in that chair like a disappointed father. Just like, sit back. I'm just going to look at you for a minute and think about what I'm going to say. So you've had your time to think about it. What's it going to be?
We're 14-13. We finally win a game, and your guy's saying we got a favorable whistle.
We got a favorable fire alarm.
They got back. They had momentum. 54-54. Crowd was energized. Had to guzzle their beers because they weren't allowed their beers outside. So they guzzled their beers. They came in all just stoked up and brought us to victory. Wasn't a favorable whistle. It was a favorable fire alarm.
And Khalil got some rest too. Let's be real there.
Absolutely. That's another big
benefit. That's true. We needed some rest.
He was probably going to be exhausted.
So anyway, the shooting numbers were better for Indiana tonight.
61% from the field, 61.7% from the field. Yeah, they were much better.
Even 66.7% from the free throw line is an improvement. So, I mean, all the numbers.
One, it's Ware, Duncan, everything, but it's confidence. Like I said, 100%. If you're most open confident when you first catch the ball, and Indiana was looking to shoot the basketball, not looking to pass the ball inside.
As we've talked about.
A vast difference. Yeah.
No, and I think that if you look at it, too, Indiana scored 74 points. And if that's the case, you'd expect more than 40, maybe 45, 50 in the paint. They had 38 in the paint. I mean, so they were scoring in different ways.
Got outscored in the paint.
Yeah, and they got outscored in the paint, and they still won the game. So that was big. And so that was my biggest takeaway was, you think of this game, you think of how Ware did, and you're like, well, they probably just dominated the paint. And they really didn't. And so that again, an interesting, fact to look at from this game.
Numbers. Andy, what other numbers stood out to you?
You look, the turnover numbers, IU ends up with 12, which gave Wisconsin 9 points. Wisconsin only turned the ball over three times, which isn't really shocking by any stretch of the imagination, but that was a difference there. Second chance points pretty much even. Bench points were pretty much even. Most of us, really the free throw line in some ways was ultimately the difference. And we've talked about how much IU's been outscored from the 3-point line, only getting outscored by six there, but you made up eight of those from the foul line and ended up plus two in those couple areas. I thought was important. Seven blocks for IU. We talked a lot about Ware. I think Walker had a nice one at some point of the, and then, the other thing I'll say, I was going to bring this up as it pertains to maybe not being as gassed down the stretch due to the fire alarm, but IU had really struggled there for a while in the second half defensively, but over the last 13 possessions, they only gave up 9 points and they closed the game out strong. Didn't give up any of the last five.
It's like they had another gear to go to defensively.
Yeah, and it was really after Storr had kind of gotten hot, and even some of the buckets that he made were tough shots that you're willing to take. From a guy who had done a ton in the game to that point. So I just thought they were able to really summon something defensively down the stretch there. And maybe that was because they got a little bit of that extra rest, but certainly rode the lineup pretty hard, at least the core guys who had been there over the course of the half.
I'll say, I think a lot of their paint buckets were tough buckets. I mean, I really do. A lot of their drives where they finished, they weren't clean drives. Now, I know when Khalil Ware came out at one point, they got some straight line drives, but for the most part, they were having to grind their way through and make a contested layup to score for a lot of the game. And that's just, again, speaks to the defensive pressure that Indiana was putting on them. Yeah, they gave up buckets, but I felt like Wisconsin had to work very hard to score for most of the game. They had some runs where where Indiana got loose, but for the most part, Indiana made it very difficult on them.
The last number I want to point out is Mackenzie Mbako, his efficiency numbers. He scores 14 points, which is in line with what he's been doing, but it's been taking him 13, 14, 15 shots to get there. Tonight, he gets his 14 points on 10 shots. He was 4 of 10 overall. He was 2 of 5 from downtown. Both those three-pointers really felt meaningful when he made them. I mean, all three-pointers feel meaningful for Indiana when they're made.
One tied the game. Yeah. One tied the game late.
Yeah, and he makes four or five free throws. Missed that last one there at the end, which was unfortunate. But nice to see from him. And I think, again, you saw – now, look, defensively, you know, he had some struggles. I thought Storr made some tough buckets against him. Blackwell clearly was targeting Mbako and wanted to drive on him. That guy is going to be an SOB in this conference for a long time. He is just a tough competitor, man. Very
impressed. We could pull him in the transfer portal.
I don't know. Lots of time to talk about the transfer portal. But nice to see McKenzie kind of combine what we've seen, which is be more aggressive, take more, you know, possessions, but be more efficient with them. And, you know, he had a couple, one turnover? Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he was loose with his handle a couple times. But, again, I just thought, Coach, you know, you're seeing some of that growth from him offensively where he can affect the game in more ways than we saw early. But, you know, seeing some efficiency was really helpful tonight.
Yeah, and I like his drive game. And they also are now running some elbow ball screens for him. So he'll catch at the elbow, and then they'll come with the big and ball screen at the elbow, which is nice because it's a hard place to guard a ball screen, especially with the big. Now, I would trap that because I don't know if he's a great passer yet, but that's something that he would need to add to his game. But he definitely is now going – to the rim and being able to score at the rim and get fouled at times, which can help as well. But I also think he was aggressive and confident tonight on some of those shots that he took. And that's going to put guys in a better position to score the basketball when they have a little bit of confidence and a little bit of freedom to play the game. And I just think that was important for McKenzie tonight. I think that was important for everyone tonight. It was just a big difference in why Indiana was able to score enough. But, yeah, McKenzie's been solid. Defensively,
he's gotten a lot better.
Defensively, it's still a struggle. Yeah. And he's not as athletic as you would think if you have a top 10, you know, five-star coming in. He's a little tight.
We kind of knew that coming in, though, that he wasn't an elite athlete. I think there's
that's why a lot of us thought he was at that four instead of a three. He's just tight.
I think there's more to unlock there, but he's not there yet. One number I wanted to point out was Anthony Leal's minutes tonight. We've been asking for him to play some more because given what he does and he kind of calms the team down, 17 minutes. He led the bench in minutes tonight. Gabe Kupps only had 19. So he was playing pretty much as your starting point guard. I know X took away some of Kupps' minutes that we've been used to seeing. But again, Anthony was plus 13, made his only three, had that great rebound. He did have one turnover, but I don't see why this guy's playing less than that, given what he's given and given what this team needs is just sometimes to settle down and solid and a guy who can move the ball and occasionally hit a shot when he's open and do all the right things. He needs to be playing 15 minutes a game. And we've seen that fluctuate up and down. And also interesting, you know, was the way that the bench was used tonight, which was a little bit different. These guys played consistent minutes. They were able to get into the flow of the game. And, you know, I just thought it was a much better bench performance because they actually got some run to stretch their legs a little bit.
And CJ Gunn was questionable. So he may not have played due to injury. Yeah. I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything post-game.
It's probably the assumption. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and this is a game where Leal isn't necessarily going to get taken advantage of defensively. That's what you have to watch out for with him is, you know, he can go fight through things with some of these guys and lots of guys got taken advantage of that way on the drive tonight. Wisconsin was clearly, as we talked about, seeking out those different matchups, but this is definitely a game that lent itself more to him being 100%. Able to play and be able to contribute on both ends of the floor.
Yep. All right, coming up on the Assembly Call in our final segment, we are going to hand out our Game Balls and Hoosier Hustle Award, discuss a lingering question or two, and then look ahead to what Indiana has coming up with three games left in the regular season. That's all next on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Thomas Bryant. What's the only thing better than being Kentucky in the NCAA tournament? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
I love Thomas Bryant. It was either last night or the night before. He was just like randomly trending on Twitter. And it was just like all these people talking about Thomas Bryant's effort and how much they love how hard he plays and all kinds of stuff. I was like, yeah. That's our Thomas Bryant. We know that guy. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris. It's a full house. Ryan Phillips, the coach, Brian Tonsoni, Andy Bottoms. Coach and Andy are just like ready to get the show over because they have bracket stuff to do. There's like all these upsets and things happening. So teams are going to be moved around. S-curves are going to be changed. So, you know, this is the time of year where the bracketologists lose some sleep, burn the midnight oil. So, but fortunately, game ball discussion will be very quick. Hustle awards should be very quick. So you guys will get a little extra time. But anyway, it's game ball time, presented by our friends Allie and James at Bloom Environmental. They want to make sure everyone knows about radon, a colorless, odorless, radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. And according to the EPA, Monroe County and other surrounding counties throughout Indiana are expected to have elevated levels of radon above the action level recommended for mitigation. Contact Bloom Environmental today. Mention Assembly Call for a free radon test kit and mitigation estimate. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. That's bloomenviro.com. All right, everybody, say your favorite play that Khalil Weir made today, since he clearly gets the game ball. Coach, why don't you go first?
Favorite play?
Yes, your favorite Khalil play.
Taking that three-pointer.
Okay.
Without hesitation. I mean, there's like a lot of them, but I'll just say that because
there's four of us.
I just love the face-up game, and I think that's where he is the strongest. And you know, so without much notice, that's the one I'll pick out of 30.
Andy, your favorite Khalil Ware play? He's clearly the game ball.
Man, there were a lot to pick from. I guess I'll go with the drive and the Euro step through the into the guy's chest. I'll go with that one because it's like, this guy somehow took one dribble from beyond the 3-point line and then used his stride to
good
cover
call.
The rest and basically get to the rim. So
I don't even know how that's possible. Ryan, your favorite Khalil Ware play?
I talked about it. It was the lob from Galloway that he finished through contact. That wasn't a dunk. It was a lob layup kind of a shot, because he was far enough out. It was like a catch and shoot, banked it in and got fouled. And I thought that was my favorite for the evening.
Yeah, I mean, I'll stick with mine, the banner moment, the shot that he altered on Tyler Wall that allowed Indiana to get that stop and go down the other end. And look, I'm going to just throw in an honorable mention game ball to Coach Woodson. He's had a lot of fire on him for the last few weeks. One game doesn't change anything, in a macro sense, really. But I thought the team, and we've talked about some of the individual things tonight that, you know, that weren't great. The decision in the second half to sit both guys. Coach, what you talked about with the fouling. But his team was ready to play. You know, the overall just esprit de corps and conviction to what they were doing and confidence level, all of that stuff was there. And that's stuff that we haven't been seeing, and we've been blaming it on Coach Woodson. So I think it's only fair that when we see that and we see the team play the way we want to see them play, that has to be reflective of leadership in some way. Now, maybe the guys just came together and said, screw this, we're just going to go do this anyway, and I sound like a moron. But I don't really think that's the case. And so I think you got to give Coach Woodson credit for having these guys ready to play in a game where not a lot of people gave them a chance. But, you know, as I said before the game, I know there are a lot of people who are wondering, well, what are we cheering for? And, you know, what do these games matter? Even if it's not tournament play, winning in Assembly Hall matters. It always matters. And so a win tonight mattered, and the guys played like it mattered. And so kudos to the leadership from the coach all down for being ready to go tonight. All right, Khalil Ware gets the game ball. That is his 10th. He leads the team. Second is Malik with 8. And now let's go to our Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, and it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award. But first, let's talk about my friends at Security Pro 24/7, who provide trusted and reliable security for your event or business. From Bloomington, my hometown, to Evansville, where Coach Cal Bertani grew up, and everything in between. Just like hustle can't be measured by stats, prevention can't be measured either, but it has a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let the security pros at Security Pro 24/7 help you prevent a bad outcome today. Visit securitypro247.com to learn more. That's securitypro247.com. And tell them Anthony Leal sent you.
That's right. Thank you, Anthony. I feel like the Hustle Award's always a little bit more fun and meaningful when Anthony is a potential candidate for it. So let's go around. Ryan, your Hustle Award first.
Trey Galloway. I thought he played hard the entire night, 12 assists. He did have two. He only had two turnovers. Didn't have any blocks or steals, but I thought his effort on defense, I thought he was kind of a beast all night, just getting to places, covering for other guys. And then offensively, you know, played 36 minutes and was attacking and getting into the lane and finding open guys. 3 of 10 from the field, not amazing, and 0-4 from three, but he was more of a creator tonight. And that play at the end where he boxed the guy out from getting the ball, awesome, on the sideline, you know, that counts as a block out to me, you know, and yeah, and yeah, and just it was a completely like fair play too, you know. It wasn't one of those where he hip checked the guy or anything. He just kind of held his position, let the ball go out of bounds. That was huge. If that goes back to Wisconsin there, they got a chance to do something, and he's able to shield him off and let the ball go out of bounds. So that play kind of capped it for me. But I got to give it to Dre.
What's on your sweatshirt? What's that logo? Oh God, I thought it was BW3s for a second.
No.
I was about to make a good mistake.
Well, it's a Nike. Okay. It's a Nike. All right. So, you know, I don't think B-Dubs.
No.
I don't think
it's not.
The only place to really get the pulse on the IU basketball fan community, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes. Many people, I love you, Jeff. Many people are saying that's where to be.
Well, maybe Anthony really isn't a candidate, because I think we're probably all going to go with Trey, but Coach, your Hustle Award.
Trey Galloway, yeah. I think he just played an outstanding all-around game on both ends. I think Indiana was better when he was handling the ball. You saw cups off the ball at times. I think he just has a way of getting downhill, and tonight he got downhill and made teammates better. And that's what you need from a lead guard. You don't necessarily need him taking a lot of shots. I know it's nice on days when he's had big scoring games, especially at the rim, and hits a couple threes. But when you're facilitating like he did tonight on top of all the other stuff, I think that deserves the Hustle Award.
Andy?
Yeah, same for me. Couple things. This is now two of the last four games he's had 12 assists in each game.
Yep.
He's up to, looking on KenPom, in Big Ten play, he's sixth in assist rate in the league at 28.4 while playing the seventh highest percentage of minutes. And they talked on the broadcast about it didn't look quite himself during the shoot around with the foot injury that he seemed to sustain against Penn State, and really just gutted it out, played a ton of minutes. And there was a play, and we talked about how you're getting bullied at times on Wisconsin drives. There was a play, I forget who the guy who drove was. It might have been Hepburn or Storer, but Hummel said on the broadcast, like, Galloway matched the physicality of what they were trying to do and stood up to them, forced a missed shot. Just think that, you know, speaks a lot of what he was even able to do defensively with his effort there. And like I said, in the meaningful moment, I thought did a good job of understanding what was working for him and what wasn't during the game, and really adapted to that well over the course of the game. You know, a couple of those buckets were some big floaters that he hit out of the three shots that he made. So just kudos to him. Really solid performance all around.
Yeah, he was terrific. I mean, he's been the hustle guy in so many tough losses, and feels like the guy that's always kind of sticking with it no matter what. And his teammates joined him tonight, but they were following his lead. And so that is why Trey Galloway has double the Hustle Awards of anybody else. That is his ninth on the season, and all of them very well deserved. All right, lingering question time. Which one of you fine gentlemen has a lingering question that you would that you'd like to toss out after this game?
Who are we going to see in the next game? What team are we going to see in the next game? Can they? And the big question for me, as always with this program, I feel like over the last decade, is how do they deal with success? Do they build on this, or do you take a step back? I think that's the big question. Can they continue to play with this level of energy and effort and focus? That's the question. I think that's been the question all year for this team, honestly, yeah. Is can they replicate what they did tonight? So,
yeah.
Maryland is the answer, Ryan. Maryland is the team. You'll see next.
At Maryland.
So.
Yes. Not what I meant, Andy, but thank you.
You know, I'm a lot more confident in the answer to that question than I am to the one that you asked. So I just
fair.
That
that's fair.
I tell you, man, I feel like just the experience of watching this team this season. I think, Coach, I want to get your thoughts on this. I think part of the reason why it's been so frustrating and why the fan reaction to this team in the season has been so extreme is it's not like they're just kind of like mediocre all game and then they just kind of get bled out for like these 10, 12 point losses. It's that you see stretches of dominance. You see the talent come out. You at times see the system work. You see these stretches where it's like, these guys can play good basketball. And then something happens and it falls apart and there's a stretch that's equally bad on the other side where it's like, how can guys who play this well and have this level of talent look so inept for extended periods of time? What is going on? And that just constant pendulum swing from one side to the other really ends up, I think, focusing a lot of attention on the coach because it's like, you're not harnessing this in the best way possible, you know? And so I think that's part of what's so frustrating. And tonight, to their credit, you know, the periods of bad play were not as long. They found a way to get back into it and, you know, and stem those tides. And that's why they ended up winning the game by 4. But, you know, it's just such a pendulum swing every game, it feels like. And it's a shame because you can see the ability there. And we just see it kind of come together to create cohesive basketball far too infrequently.
Well, I'm going to agree and disagree a little bit. Okay. I don't think it's all-star ability. I think it's good basketball ability that needs a certain structure in order to be successful. So what you have is you don't have prototypical players at every position. Trey's not a two guard. Xavier is a good point guard, not a great point guard. He's not a shooter. How many times do you see college guys just get heel, toe, toe, raise up over someone and shoot over someone? The best who can do that is CJ Gunn, and he hasn't done it. So I don't think this team is as talented, but I still think it could have won a lot of games because it has individual ability, as we've seen in Ware and Renew at the basket and Galloway being a facilitator. But you need to mesh what you have in order to maximize what you have. And I think Indiana had enough talent to win a heck of a lot more games than 15. And I think that's kind of where I agree with you, is you've seen that at times where they've played at their potential or closer to their potential level. Yeah. But I think we all misjudge the overall talent, and then the meshing of that talent is another thing. I think individually there is some skill. They're good players, but it also, a basketball team to win and be in the top of the Big Ten and get a top 4 seed has to fit together. And I don't think our parts fit together like everyone might have thought. And the individual talent doesn't make up for that. You sometimes maybe need a little bit of a lesser player, or you need a different scheme. If you have this and you have players that you can win with, you got to put them in the right position. So I think it's a combination of I think we overshot what we thought the talent level was going to be, and it's not just good enough to go out and play. It has to be massaged and coached and led, and we're not getting that. And so there's that wide variance that when it all kind of plays close to their potential, they look really good, and then it could really bottom out either in periods of play in the game or from game to game because that talent gap is there compared to the teams that you see in the top 10, top 15, top 20 where Indiana wants to be. There's a lot more talent on those teams than there is on Indiana. But that doesn't mean we have to settle for 15 and 13. Look at Northwestern. Look at Nebraska. Those teams don't have near the talent we have, but they have a system in play that allows them to win games and get a single-digit seed in the NCAA tournament. I would take our talent over their talent, but their program's a little better, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, we agree. You just described it better than I did. So I agree with you. Andy, Ryan, any thoughts on that before we move on?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is I think that's why you see, and this has been, I don't know how many weeks ago it was that we did this, where we kind of had a show on Assembly Call Radio trying to talk about some of the things that were positive. And I think what Coach described is why you can have conversations about individual players and really be able to take some positives away from how they've played. Khalil Ware, Malik Renew, Mbako, Galloway and Spurts, you've gotten more from some of these guys than you thought you would, but collectively it hasn't led to the results that you might have expected it to early on in the season. I think that's where it gets difficult to try to parse out, you know, what's really the root cause of all that and those different things. And that's a you know, we've already been going for an hour. We don't need to get into that, but I think that's, I mean, that is exactly why, like, you could look down this roster and be like, you know what, that guy's been better than what I thought he was going to be. And this guy's evolved in this way. It's just that hasn't led to collective success as a group. And that's where it kind of gets frustrating. And I think it just speaks to what Coach said about meshing that together, that part hasn't happened as well as you would have liked it to, despite the fact that there are some positive stories to be told, even in the midst of what's a disappointing overall season.
Yeah. I think that, you know, Coach is talking about talent levels and everything. As far as raw talent goes, Indiana has a lot of it. It's usable talent and molding that usable talent that are the problem. And if you're talking about athletic talent, general basketball talent, and the things you need to be a good basketball player, there's plenty of that on this roster. It hasn't been molded and used in a way that's to the benefit of the players, in my opinion. And so that's a huge thing for this offseason. I just think that's, you have to mold these guys, make them into someone who fits your system, or mold the system to what you have. And I think that's the problem with this Indiana team.
Yeah. All right. So last lingering question that we wanted to get into here, and I know it's late, but we can at least spend a good 30 to 45 minutes on it here, is a lot of, conversation going around about Indiana's coach. You know, what should be done next season? Okay, guys, I guess we're not going to be able to get into that conversation. We're all being evacuated here from the show. All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to save coach talk for next
week. All right. Episode. I had to have my drink. They're not allowing me to take this outside.
All right. Well, we have to move on. Sorry about that, guys. Okay. So coming up for the Hoosiers, we have Assembly Call Radio.
Oh, we're staying. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're fine. We're fine. It was just someone pulled a fire alarm upstairs.
Do you guys want to warm up again before we get this going? Some voice warm-ups?
All right, so AC Radio on Thursday. Is there a women's game Thursday? Do we have conflicts on Thursday?
No, I think...
I have a conflict. That's right. I don't think I can be there Thursday.
I think you and Jeff and Kathy are doing the women's show before ours because... Okay. They couldn't do it, but there is not another game until the weekend when they play Maryland.
No, it is not my social life. It's my wife's social life. So she, as you guys know, she's had like the month from hell and has been working like crazy. They've got to get all this stuff done before their board meeting, which is this week. And so she and all the people that she works with are doing a big happy hour on Thursday night. So that night is hers. I will have the kids. We'll see what time I get them to sleep. I may hop on the show after they get to bed. But anyway, we'll have Assembly Call Radio. We'll have a fun discussion. It'd be nice to at least have it coming off of a win, so you know it doesn't have to be so dour. Even if we talk about subjects that are bigger picture for the program. But then IU Maryland on Sunday, that is an early tip, if I'm correct. Yes, 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Eastern. So we'll see if Indiana can get back to back victories and win on the road at Maryland. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. You can use the promo code HOME23 at checkout for 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, it is time for last call. Final thoughts on an Indiana victory, which is nice. Coach, you go first.
Yeah, it just feel for the players and the coaches. You know, you have tough season as a coach, and it just wears on you a little bit, whether you make the right decisions or the wrong decisions, and all that's going to come in the off season. But you're glad that they can go out and relax tonight with a win, and then start getting ready for Maryland and for the players who get a lot of pressure and a lot of comments and everything. You play the game to win the game, and it's nice when you have that, even in a tough season. And now you want to try to win two or three as you go. And that lingering question that Ryan had, which team shows up? Sometimes you can win two or three in a row. Sometimes you're a one-shot wonder when the pressure's on and you just have a, hey, screw it game. We're going to go out and play the right way. Once you get that, then you also let down. So, but just happy that we can get on here and chuckle a little bit and talk about basketball things and why Indiana won a game. And that's what we're here for. And we want to do it more. So We got at least four more opportunities to have positive post-game shows. I also want to thank the people in the chat. A lot of humor, a lot of good things with the fire alarm and all kinds of things throughout the message tonight. You were fantastic, and thanks for staying with us in a tough year. We appreciate it.
We do. Ryan, last call.
Yeah, I think, look, in a tough season, we can honor a good win. And we can feel positive and have a good night after a good win. And beating Wisconsin, I don't care how good they are or bad they are, and they're a good team this year, it always feels good to take down Wisconsin. I think that you just saw what you wanted to see from this team tonight, which is focus, energy, effort, and playing hard the right way. You know, not just running up and down the floor hard, but actually doing things, covering for each other, recovering to defensively, you know, blocking out, which has been a huge problem, and, you know, continuing to push offensively. And you saw, you know, first round NBA talent just have a magical night. And so I think you can feel real good about tonight. Doesn't mean that the program's problems are solved and all of that stuff, but you can still go to sleep tonight feeling good about this win and having fun watching this team, and go back and rewatch it and enjoy it. Cause you know, when it gets tense, you know, it's going to end up okay in the end. So sorry, coach, I'm going to rewatch it, but
he's just grumpy. Cause he has to change all his brackets.
I know, but let it be fun when it's fun. Even if things are bad, you know what? Find fun and joy in the moments where you're allowed to have it. And tonight is one of those nights. So, you know, I know we're in a tough situation. There's a lot of outside noise going on about a lot of things, and we'll address that maybe on Thursday. But tonight, just enjoy it. Have fun.
The games still matter, man. The games still matter.
Yeah, they do.
Winning games still matter.
I mean, tell me you weren't excited at the end when they closed it out and won. I mean, that's what this game is. That's what Indiana basketball is. It gets under your skin and gets to you. And it's okay to have fun and enjoy it. Even, you know, with what's going on, it's really, you're allowed to enjoy it.
That's right. Andy, last call.
Just as you guys said, you know, happy for the team and the program and the coaching staff. It's been rough, you know, really couple months essentially since the first of the year turned, and to be able to get these guys to come out and really start to finish, be as competitive as they were for as long as they were, which is something that this team has struggled with. I give them a lot of credit for that. Really excited for Khalil Ware, a guy who came in with a lot of question marks around motor and all those things and how can he put it together. And he has answered the bell time after time after time this season. And I just was impressed with how the way he started things off, the way he played on both ends of the floor, and really even the growth that he's shown as a player and as a leader for this team over the course of the season. So awesome for him, and certainly Trey Galloway with a big performance as well. So always good to beat Wisconsin. Unfortunately, the graphics they showed during the game were a reminder of how infrequently that's happened over the last handful of years. I was like, my God, put this away. I remember the lengthy winning streak that they had over them for so long, but good to get back on the right side of one of these every once in a while, and so was glad to see him do that. And we'll see if they can build on that. You hope that they can, and this gives them some confidence heading into the Maryland game on Sunday.
Wasn't that the Stan Robinson game in like 2014 or 2015 that broke a long losing streak to Wisconsin? Am I remembering that right?
So many Stan Robinson games to pick from, Jared. I can't remember all of them.
That's such a deep cut. I wonder how many listeners still remember that inside joke from a long time ago. But hey, we have breaking Assembly Call news here in the YouTube chat. We just got a super chat. So a super chat is where people can pay money and the chat like has a different color and it gets highlighted. And the story behind this one is interesting. So this comes to us from Quinn Thomas, who put this super chat in here. He says, "Hey, y'all, I figured I'd stop in. I'm Quinn from Trilly's Discord. Even though I'm not an IU fan, I enjoy y'all's content." So I was in the Trilly Donovan Discord. God, there's going to be some IU fans listening to this that have no idea what that sentence means. And I can't take all the time to explain it because it's late.
But try to explain this to 10-year-old you.
I can't.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a Discord where insider information is shared about college basketball. And so there's a couple of Indiana channels that have just gone crazy because we're all insane. And so Quinn is this guy who's an Auburn fan, and he came in there to hear what some of the scuttlebutt was about. And he had been familiar with our show. He had actually watched the Auburn episode that Jim Hansen was on previewing, but he's a huge Auburn fan. And I have to say this about my interactions with Quinn, because it's very easy to get jaded with Twitter and with, you know, the tone that people have on Discord and all this stuff. And especially in there, because there had been like all these Kansas fans trolling those channels. Quinn came in and was like the nicest, most gracious person, not trying to start any trouble, just asking questions, having conversations. And I even called it out in the moment. I was like, this is one of the most pleasant, like random online interactions I've ever had. And it was just about basketball, and it was great. And so to see Quinn here in the chat is really nice, Quinn. And we appreciate that. We appreciate your support. And go Tigers. I'm a fan of that program. Go Auburn.
While you were doing that, Jared, I was able to do a bit of research, and in the 2014 season, you're correct, IU beat Wisconsin 75-72 at home, thanks to a performance where we saw Stan Robinson play 24 minutes, scored 13 points on 6-of-10 shooting, and grab 5 rebounds.
We held on to that forever.
That was his that was his freshman year, so I believe that meant he was shooting left-handed at the time, and yes, so we cling tight to that memory.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So look, man, my last call is I'm just proud of these guys. I'm happy for the coaches. I'm happy for the families. Like, they live and die with this stuff, you know? And that's why I see people saying like, what are we playing for? These games are meaningless, man. They are not, you know, and it gets frustrating when you don't see the team playing like you want with the fight and energy that you want. And that's why we all have been here frustrated. And this may end up just being one win in the midst of, you know, losing 9 out of 10 to end the season. Who knows? But for tonight, anyway, they played well. I'm proud of them. And it's just nice to get a win and feel good again. So kudos to that. Kudos to all you guys. And we'll be back here Sunday to talk about it again. So that will do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can do that at youtube.com/assemblycall. Don't forget to go to assemblycall.com and join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again on Sunday. Until then,
take it from me, Anthony Leal. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Here I come, Mrs. Stunt Sony.
All right. God, winning is so much better than
this. Is a lot easier when we win.
You don't say.
I had forgotten that. I had forgotten that because it's been a while. But
by the way, there were people in Discord.
If only somebody
had
said something. That's yeah. That would be.
There were people in Trilly Discord asking about you, Ryan, specifically saying, is Ryan going to be on the show tonight? Because we need some, I think their quote was, we need some red meat. So obviously they were not anticipating a good result. So you may have let everybody down by being happy about a win tonight.
I did go into the chat after the loss on Wednesday and say, look, I'm sorry, I'm traveling for a family thing for this week. So it was probably the worst week of shows for me to miss, I think, ever in the history of this podcast. But yes, my niece is a freshman in high school, and she was starring in her high school play. She was the star of her high school play, and she absolutely crushed it and was amazing, and I'm super proud of her. But that's what I was doing all last week. So
what play and what part did she have?
It's a play that was a Broadway success, but it's got a fun name. It's called Urinetown. And it's about a post-capitalist society where you have to pay to urinate. It's an allegory, obviously, for corporations owning everything, which is crazy, crazy content for a high school play. Yeah, but she goes to a very the school has a very prestigious drama department, and as a freshman, she played the lead role, which is a male role that they had her play, and it was awesome. She was so good. Uh-oh. So. Crush it.
Play well on Sports Radio 1430. But anyway,
sorry. When they told me what the name is, I was like, "You're in town," and they're like, "No, urine." Like, I was like, what? But go, if you're interested, it's because it's very funny. It's a comedy, obviously. Go look up the Wikipedia for it. The subject matter is absurd, but they pulled it off. It was very funny, and nice. It was enjoyable. And she, it's a musical, and she has an amazing voice, so she was great. So very proud, Uncle Alert.
That is awesome.
That would suck for us old guys. Have to pay.
Yeah.
It's saying.
Oh, man. All right.
Let's All do right, on that note.
Winning. Let's do more of these winning post-game shows, guys.
Yeah, let's do
this
it.
This is much better. All right, everybody.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll see you
later, everybody.
All right. See you guys.